The Metal Show with Gully and Joe, and we're back. We had a little delay. We was meant to do a show with someone, but they dropped out and we've kind of not done it. So we decided to do another Slayer review. And this one is from June 9th, 1998. It's the third studio album with Paul Bostoff. And I think, to be honest, very underrated drummer, and I'm very glad that he's back, to be completely honest, because the other one came across as a bit of a moaner. It is Diabolus in Musica. Do you want to hear some random facts about this particular meaning of this album before we get underway, Joe? What do you reckon? I've got lots of them. So it means the devil in music, and in medieval times, high clergymen had a habit of debating esoteric theological themes, such as how many angels can dance on a head of a pin. And so it kind of comes from that times, and Slayer kind of sold it. And I'm on this particular page where it's got, like, it's called diabolus.org. And it talks about the meaning of that, and it says at the bottom, then there was Slayer. And it says, we do get lots of hits from Slayer fans looking up the meaning of it. Hi, Slayer fans, and here's a link to the official website. So that's what it means for all you buffs that are into that type of fucking thing. Like, but I'll let you start and say kind of where did you hear this first, and when?
Do you know what the album's originally going to be called?
Go on.
Violent by Design.
Mmm.
I think they went with the right title.
Yeah, they definitely did. It was it was written mostly by Jeff Hanneman, this as well.
Yes. We're going to... I don't know whether to get into that later. Maybe when we sort of go into where it fits into the catalogue and
why this album... It's definitely experimental. We can say that safely before we even kick off with anything. There's lots of experimentation in it.
Sure, yeah.
And it was C-sharp tuning as well, which just makes it sound slightly more sinister at times, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had a soft spot for this album, and everyone slags it off. It's the shit album by Slayer. It's the... Kerry King has even said it's their Turbo. But when Judas Priest play Turbo Lover, the fucking crowd goes mental, so don't worry about that. I've always... The big thing is, this was my Slayer album. Because when 1998 had come out, I think I must have bought it about 99. And I was into metal, obviously. Now, this album always gets slated as the new metal album. I've never been a hypocrite. I cannot... For all of new metal's faults, I'm not going to shit on new metal, because new metal was when I was cutting my teeth. 1999... Well, 1998, I was at school, you know. So I grew up on Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains and Faith No More. I grew up on Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and The Who. And then my cousins got me into Nirvana, and they were watching MTV. So then I got into Korn and Slipknot and Cold Chamber. You know, this was heavy stuff to me.
I only know Loco by then.
Yeah. And I was,
Loco!
Well, less said about them than
about them. Shit.
But System of a Down, that first System of a Down album. And so I was working my way backwards, you see, filling in all the gaps. So when it came to Slayer, Luke, who's been on the show, he did Load of Us. When I become friends with him, he was sort of like my mentor in a way, because he helped me fill in the gaps. He was sort of, you know, he was part of the older crowd. He was in a band and that, and he could see that I was into it for the long haul. And he was like, right, you're on the right path, but you need to know this and you need to know that. And he used to do me tapes and whatnot. So I was like, right, Slayer, where do I start? Because I've heard Angel of Death and loved it. And he was like,
who
right.
Who doesn't? What a fucking
chart. Yeah, of course. So Rain in Blood's the classic. Diabolus Musica is the new album. What do I need to get? He went, right, you got the trilogy, which we all know about. So get yourself the trilogy and get the new album and go from there. So I went and got Rain and Blood. I'd actually bought a couple of CDs for my birthday that sucked.
It's always hard when people buy your CDs, though, and they just totally fuck it up.
Yeah, but it was brilliant because it still had the tape around it, because HMV had the sticker in the corner and they had that security tag.
Oh yeah,
that wrapped round, and they were still intact. So I just went, I got bought these and I don't like them, can I just swap them? And they went, yeah, cool,
excellent.
So I went and got Slayer, Rain in Blood and Diablo Musica. Now, and yeah, this album fucking, both albums blew me away. Now, the whole nu metal thing. If this is a nu metal album, it's one of the best nu metal albums.
Mm.
Straight off. Secondly,
God Hates Us All is more nu metal than this. God Hates Us All. Kerry even uses a 7-string guitar at one point.
Mm. So, fuck off. Secondly, thirdly, so there's fucking down-tuning on it. Queensryche were down-tuning their guitars before Korn even fucking discovered wanking. So
Pantera down-tune, what's wrong with it?
Nothing. Exactly.
Nothing at all.
In hindsight and everything, look, for... I mean, we're going to get into the review, so I'm not quite sure what to say. But how long have Slayer been going now? I mean, they're this is their final tour. They've been going since 81.
Mm.
Show No Mercy came out in 83. If this is as bad as it gets, you've had a pretty fucking good run, guys.
Mm.
Like, you know, what was Metallica put out Garage Inc. this year. A year after this, Megadeth put out Risk. Fuck knows what Anthrax were up to.
Nothing
look
much.
Look what was going on in music at the time anyway. Around this time, fucking everyone was into Ministry of Sound and DJs and shit. Yeah. This was a fucking heavy album at the time. And yeah, I mean, unless you go full bore and go death metal, then all right, fair enough. And yeah, maybe I wish Slayer, maybe you've incorporated a little bit of death metal rather than sort of... Nu metal was there. It was... You know, it was what it was. But all thrash bands had kind of, you know, if they hadn't split up, some adopted a bit of grunge.
It was so unpopular.
Metallica, you know, so they... But it wasn't just nu metal. Nu metal, I mean, Korn sort of... It really started with Sepultura's roots, didn't it?
Mm.
But it was, you know, you had Biohazard and obviously Pantera were incorporating a lot of groove. And then you had bands like Propane and Prong. And... You know, Prong had mixed a bit of industrial in there. So with Snap Your Fingers, Snap Your Neck, you know, the Cleansing album.
Mm.
So there was a lot of that going on anyway. I don't think it was so much Limp Bizkit, for fuck's sake, you know?
No, not even close.
But they were touring with Pantera. They toured with System of a Down. They toured with Sepultura. You know, I think just the sound, just that time was rubbing off on them, you know? It was simple as that. And... One of the things that really pisses me off with when it comes to people talking about Slayer is they go, everything's the same. It's just the same shit all the time. Bollocks.
No.
Look at, go through their albums one by one, and I can fucking tell you the evolution of it. I mean, do you want me to go through it album by album now? I don't know if you want me to. But they did change and did evolve.
Yeah.
With every album.
I agree.
Don't tell me there's no difference between Show No Mercy and Seasons in the Abyss.
You can see, you know, the progression in this album from the previous couple.
Yeah,
you can see it.
There's no winning with Slayer fans because they go, oh, it's some, for everyone that says, oh, it's the same old shit every album. It's like, well, look at this album, my friends. They tried changing things and you fucking complained. And everyone has a go at Kerry King because he took over, apparently. And just takes over the albums and all the albums are written by him now. Yeah, because Jeff Hanneman did this album. All slated it. And Jeff Hanneman went, fuck it, I give up. I don't know what to do.
And then he started getting pissed.
Yeah, just got drunk. And yeah, from the odd riff here and there, or maybe a couple of lyrics, he didn't really contribute much. So
no.
Kerry was kind of left, and Tom Araya's getting less interested by the day.
Yeah, and he kind of stood back and just let everyone else do it. I feel with him, it's more of a job. He turns up, does what he has to, and then fucks off back to his ranch to talk about Jesus.
To make buffalo mozzarella or whatever the fuck it is he makes.
Yeah.
And he can't do that. Can only do that in Italy. Mm. Buffalo mozzarella's like champagne, isn't it?
Probably makes fucking Jesus mozzarella. He's a God squad, isn't he?
Apparently he... well, fuck it. If as far as God squad people go, Tom Araya's, you know, he doesn't preach. He only ever talks about it when someone asks him. And if everyone was like him, it wouldn't be a lot of problems, would there?
But, it's ironic that like a band that speaks
funny
about religion, like, but yeah,
it is funny. I mean, I've got someone I work with who's well into it, and when he starts on that, I'll go, yeah, do you know the singer of them is Christian? He's like, what? But anyway, let's not get into that. But I can't remember what I was talking about. Derby Musica isn't as bad as you think, folks. There you go. That's my premise. That's my starting point.
Well, I'll tell you where I got into it. I've had an affair with Slayer where I was still switched on for the previous two albums, and then I just kind of lost my way and started getting into heavier shit and death metal.
You were there when it happened, weren't you? See, I had to work my way backwards.
I had to listen to all the fucking moaning that went on with this album, and I'll be honest, at the time it did actually affect me. And let's just get one thing fucking clear straight away: this is the worst album cover by Slayer, bar none. He looks like fucking Voldemort off Harry Potter. What the fuck is all that all about?
I disagree with you. I think it's cool artwork.
No, it's horrible. I always loved the in-depth Slayer album covers. If I put an album out tomorrow,
I would happily have that artwork.
You have Harry Potter waving his wand in the background as well. It looks like the fucking arch nemesis of Harry Potter.
Fuck Harry Potter. This was in 1998.
Like. Yeah, but it was before Harry Potter, but it for me, it's the worst album cover. Look at the other ones with all the shit going on and the old school stuff.
This is better than Divine Intervention. Divine Intervention could be anything.
But at least it's something. At least it's fucking something. I know they
had the cross. It's the original logo incorporated into it, but you never noticed that until it was pointed out.
Well, Painted Blood was bad too, though.
Yeah, that was shit. Yeah, I mean, I would much rather listen to this album than World Painted Blood or Christ Illusion, for that matter.
Mm.
Easily. This isn't a perfect album, and yeah, when I have listened to it, you know, for this episode, a few things have become a bit more apparent to me, which we'll get to when we get to the songs.
Yeah.
But even then, at least stuff is going on, and at least they're trying something, and there's always something there.
It's an attempt. Yeah. And like, there was so much fucking bitterness and, Slayer have got shit, this, that, and the other. But compared to anything else that was out at the time, this... Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
What the fuck do you want? It was the way music was selling in a certain way at this time, and they had to adapt because thrash at the time was a fucking no-no. It was a fucking no-no. There was no other thrash going on at the time. Slayer was still there and trying what they had to. They had to make money.
It was probably the producer that was putting a lot of this on, more than them as well. Take that into account.
Should we start with the first song then?
Let's do it.
Bitter Peace. It's stompy fucking big fucking riffs. It's big meaty fucking Jeff Hanneman riffs all day. Even though it's odd fucking bizarre tuning, they've got that sound still. It's still there if you look for it. And then when it kind of kicks in about 1:35, it's a fucking good start to the album, and it goes mad. It's one of the longest songs on the album as well, so you can see they're trying different things and different soundscapes in the studio with this one, and it's always labelled experimental, like they were fucking about with it and stuff like that. But this is fucking Slayer, and the ending's spot on. What's wrong with it? Nothing wrong with this track.
I think the only thing they experimented with is just sounds. It wasn't so much song structures.
Yeah, it was sonically, it was different. I agree. But it was a good little track.
It was dark and, you know, it's moody.
Menacing and...
And, I mean, at the time, you could hear Tom Araya's bass.
Yes.
That was...
Yes, I love it. I fucking love it. I love it.
I love the intro. I mean, this would be a separate track on its own now, wouldn't it?
Mm.
It would be like a minute and a half of nothing.
Mm.
And then when the song kicks in, it would be a new song. They didn't know no fucking about. This is the intro. And I like that slow intro. And,
it's good.
It's just a nice little warm-up, and Paul Bostoff's getting warmed up on the drums as it's going through. And when it kicks in, what do you want? This is Slayer.
Yeah,
this is pure unadulterated Slayer. Fast, mean, moody, heavy, fucking frantic chorus. I don't know what people are. Yeah, all right, maybe later on.
Maybe.
There's, there's nothing wrong with this song.
Nothing to see here at all. Well, you're right.
When I go see Slayer next week, if they crack this song out, I'll be more than happy.
Yeah, it's a fucking beast of a track. So, like, the next one's Death's Head. And when you mention the bass, Welcome, bass. I've missed you throughout all your albums. You could never hear Tom Araya play. You could never hear him play. And he's a very good technical player. I've said it in the last Slayer review we did. And this, you can hear it. It's like, it's nice to hear the bass. It's been absent and it's mixed well. And regardless of what other fuckers have said, it sounds funny. It isn't the best song that they've done, but it's passable. And I can remember all the Slayer fans bitching about it. And the main riff as well. There's some meaty fucking big fucking shake your fist, fucking punch someone in the head riff on this. And like, and the middle section, they're just like, the talky bit kills it for me. And every fucking band that does a talky bit, go fuck yourself. It very rarely works, but it spoils it. But the bass, Welcome Bass, it was nice to hear you. And I don't think they ever have the bass like this ever again after this album. But why couldn't he just keep it around? Because Tom Araya is a fucking very good bass player, and this album shows it off.
I'm looking at the album cover now. Now I'm thinking of that Harry Potter guy. You
told
fucking
you.
Wanker.
Told you.
Ruined it.
Yep. It's Harry Potter.
Why couldn't he go like, he looked like Pinhead without the pins or something like that?
No, it's fucking the evil Harry Potter, dude. It's the evil Harry Potter.
That's killed that.
Yep. Told you.
Anyway, right. So, on to the Death Head. It's got to be said as well, out the gate. Well, it's not really out the gate because we're two songs in. But the star of this show is Paul Bostoff. He is on fire on this album.
Yes, some of the fills, like, they're not even just brum, they're like brum, 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 brum. And they're like off key fills as well, off beat fills, which are fucking awesome. I've picked up on loads on it. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, and it's just such a simple song, you know, what Slayer are known for. But this is just da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And obviously Jeff Hanneman's wrote this. And Henneman's got his punk head on when he's wrote these riffs. You can just imagine he's just wrote this simple punk song at home, and then when he's giving it to the band, Paul Bostoff's just got this and just drummed all over it.
Mm.
And he's just made what would have been a simple song a really effective, rage-filled song. You know, this is a fucking heavy song.
Do you not agree that the guitar sounds a little bit off, but the rest of the mix is really good? Like, the bass and the drums are really high up there, and it's not just Kerry King and Jeff Hanneman and then everybody else underneath.
No.
I like the fucking mix.
I mean, Paul Bostoff is playing lead drums in this.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not like the older ones.
It's just real simple riffing on this. It's just, you know, two... It's just a simple chord structure.
Yeah.
And Paul Bostoff is just driving it. And Tom's just screaming over it. I think this is a really cool song. And yeah, you got that, I wake the silence in you. I'll get the producers made them do that.
Yeah,
they've
I'm
just
not
gone,
into
let's
that.
Just experiment a bit, make it a bit dark. Obviously, Marilyn Manson was around at the time as well.
The
and
beautiful people.
A bit of Ministry and all that, you know. And if that's what you're fucking nickpicking with, if that's all you've got on this album, forget it, you know.
It's the talky bits that kill it for me, but it's a good song.
No problem. Yeah, but when this came on in a club at the time, this sounded heavy as fuck.
Yeah. Well, you got to get all the corn shit that was out at the time. All that shit in the fucking bass.
I loved corn at the time as
fucking
well.
Fucking hated them.
I'm not going to pretend I didn't know, you know. So, I mean, I've not aged well, corn, and I don't really listen to them at all today.
Mm.
But they were the gateway drug for me, so I can't really say too much.
I was a little bit older, so it passed me by, and I could hear that, especially the fucking bass sounded like rubber bands, like a fart, like a wispy fucking wet fart. Like when you go for a shit and you've got diarrhea, that's corn. I'm gonna hate them. Shit. So next bit is Stain of Mind. This was a popular track at the time.
Yeah, but this is the controversial song now.
The thing is, if this was everywhere as well, this was one of the tracks of the album. I heard it a lot on the clubs, and like, this is the one people talk about at the time for a shine, to have a shine to, and like, I took a shine to it. It's angry. It's not fucking diluted Slayer. Like, you can see they tried to push the boat out, and the guitars, there was kind of a corn, kind of like that stupid fucking distortion that Korn have and the Deftones had for a while until they kind of became their own band in a way. But like,
so it became the Cure.
Yeah. But like the solos are on point and it has got that kind of new metal-y sound guitar, but it's full fucking Blood Slayer. It's not diluted shite. It just sounds different. If you have them play it as they play every other fucking song live, this is a fucking full-blooded Slayer song. Fuck everyone else who moans about it. This is fucking proper Slayer. Shut your mouth and fucking listen to it.
It's funny because what you will get on the other albums, there's a lot of riffs and melody and like, I say melody for Slayer, but you know what I mean. It's all dun-dun-dun-dun, it's all fretboard. Well, a lot of this album is it's all chunky. And yeah, with this, I mean, if you're going to get into the whole new metal thing, this is probably, you know, where the most guilty. In fact, no, there's a song later.
This is close to it, but not in.
But like with the last song, that and it, with this during the verse, just and then even the chord, again, but it's simple riffs.
Yeah.
But again, Paul Bostoff is just driving it. It's the simple riffs that he's playing around with. And again, Tom Araya's vocal patterns are what carrying it as well. Yeah. And Tom Araya's on fire on this album. And he's playing with his voice. He's trying just different shit out. And yeah, what didn't work, he stopped doing. You know, don't knock it.
Mm.
And when everyone says he raps on this song, how much rap do you listen to, fellas?
It's not like this. Because I didn't even think of that. Who would say that?
Of people that say he raps on Stain of Mind, it's like,
fuck off. That's bollocks. That's total fucking bollocks. I listen to a bit of rap. I listen to a little bit of rap. And do you know what? This is not that. Fuck off.
I like old school. I like Beastie Boys.
Yeah,
DMC, a bit of De La Soul.
Yeah.
Public Enemy.
NWA.
Tribe Called Quest, yeah. Anything before 1990 something. Anything beyond 2000, forget it.
Eminem's first album.
Yeah, first couple of albums from Eminem. All right, yeah. But maybe Dre's 2001.
Yeah, and Snoop Dogg. Early Snoop Dogg. Very early. The new stuff.
I'll put the early Snoop Dogg in with the. But yeah, I don't listen. Do you know what? My favourite hip hop album is actually got no rapping in it.
Mm.
That's the DJ Shadow Introducing. I love that album. And I think where it's no rapping in it, it's more like a soundscapey album. So you can just put it on in the car and just. Or go for a run or whatever you want to do. And it just get lost in it. And that, yeah, DJ Shadow. But I'm not a massive.
I'll dip into it.
Enough to know there's no fucking rapping on this song.
No, there isn't. It's bollocks. I agree. I don't know. There's not much more to say about that one, really. It's still.
I think it's a single. I mean, every band has them. Sorry.
Change the guitar sound because the distortion is different on this album all the way through it. It's different distortion. They've fucked with their sound, and that's probably what's turned people off. You put this on, you turn this to a normal fucking Slayer sound, have them with the amps they used, Marshall amps, whatever, and it's fucking Slayer. So fucking stop your moaning and just pay attention to the fucking music. But it takes us on to the Overt Enemy. The bass can be heard. I love it. Why did they stop mixing it with the bass turned up? Why can we not hear the bass like we can in this album on every fucking album? Because we need to do it. There's more talky bits and it sounds like Megadeth. The main riff is meaty. I miss a meaty Hanneman riff. Like, it's prevalent throughout this fucking album. The meaty fucking, you know he's done that. He stood there and he's just been fucking like, just fucking twatting out a fucking meaty riff and everyone's gone, ooh, that's fucking good, that. There's a stompy bit, breakout bit on it, and when I was listening to it and I'm getting into it now, it's like, I'm getting aggressive and energetic and wanting to stomp and fucking wish I still had long hair so I could give it a good fucking headbang. And it's like, for me, it's a great fucking track. From start to finish, I fucking love this song. It's the favourite song on the album so far for me. Over Eminem, what a fucking track.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, man. I just love how it
it builds because it just starts off with the bass and bam, 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 you know, and just builds up and builds up and builds up to the point where you get into that last sort of 30 seconds, 30, 40 seconds where it all just comes together. Dan, 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 dan. Paul Bostoff's going mad as usual. And yeah, I just like how it all just builds to a climax. And yeah, it's just a good. You've had three songs. Well, the first two songs were balls to the wall. You had a bit of groove in the third one. Now you've got a slow, sort of doomy number that builds up atmosphere. And it just flows. It just makes the album flow better, you know.
Yeah, it's a fucking great track.
When I think of it, I'll say this now because I thought of it and I don't want to forget it. But one thing I did think while listening to this album, although the songs individually may not, you know, they're not classics. They don't really stand up against, you know, Slayer's classic material, and they might not be up to much on their own as individual songs, but put together this really is a concise and, you know, a well flowing album.
It's potent. It's very potent and
consistent.
Very angry.
That, yeah, consistent. That's the album I'm word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And you know, what is this, 40 minutes?
Yeah, it's not
minutes?
It's not a long one. Yeah. So I never do over an hour. Very rare.
It's a good 40 minutes of metal, you know. And yeah, you can take the individual tracks out and pull them apart and whatever, but put together this is a good solid 11 songs.
Yeah, there's nothing. If you can take away the sound and listen to the music, try and just disassociate yourself with the sound of the guitars, because it's vastly different. The bass being up, I haven't got a fucking problem with that, and anyone who has is a fucking dick, because it sounds a lot better. The drums are up, the vocals are up. It's not just fucking quiet fucking singing and no bass. It's different. It's a different sound. Change the guitar sound, but everything else is fucking perfect. You've just got to take a step away.
It's funny because I was watching an interview with Immolation, who are nothing like Slayer, but their first like four albums or so, they had kind of like a raw production, and apparently like he was saying, every review he read, it was, these are really good songs, but the production's shit. If only this band got a good producer. Four or five albums into their career, they get a decent label, decent producer, you know, decent budget. They get a proper sound. And everyone goes, this band fucking sold out. What happened to the raw sound, the raw production? He went, like, literally, as soon as we gave the thing that everyone said we were missing, everyone went the other way and went, oh no, we want the...
Be careful what you wish for, innit?
Yeah, and he went, like, he went, literally, it went, that everyone went, the production sucks on all these albums, we want the proper production. And as soon as they got it, everyone then went the other way and wanted the raw production of the first four albums again. He went, so, you know, and Immolation and New Yorkers, so... Hey, what can you do?
You know? You little fox. Look what you've done, you little fox. It takes us on to the Perversions of Pain.
A cup of coffee.
A cup of coffee. Just one more thing. So drumming. What more can we say about the drumming on this song, Perversions of Pain? The drumming's on point, man. You can see why. You can see why he's came back into the fold more recently, because he's still a fucking amazing drummer. And I don't know why people get so fucking weird about this album, because it's a natural progression from the last couple. Like, this is another Fast and Furious one.
And you've got to take into context the time it was released.
Yes. And people were expecting Slug Slayer to come out and do a fucking thrash album, the hardcore Slayer fans. They couldn't, because it wasn't going to fucking sell. It wouldn't fucking sell. It's another Fast Furious. And you know what? When the solos kick in, if you like Slayer, I dare you not to raise a little cheeky smile when the solos kick in, because they do fucking solos. Like,
mate,
I take shit. I'm good at taking a shit, but Slayer are good at doing fucking solos, man. It's fucking hurtles along. It's a thrashier sounding song, minus the guitar sound. But like, this, what the fuck is up with people? This is good Slayer. It's thrashy and it's on point. Perversions of Pain. As this album progresses, I am liking the songs more and more. What more can you not say about this song? It's fucking spot on. It's great.
I'll just give. I'm
fucking saying it. I don't care who I upset. A minute and 30 seconds up until the 2 minute mark, that fucking section could be lifted straight from Rain in Blood.
Mm. It's fucking Slayer. It's a good classic song. Slayer.
You got the song builds up and does its thing and it goes around in a few little cycles, but then when it kicks into that solo in the middle of the song and Paul Bostoff's drums just build it up and kick it in. Oh, God. And yet, you could literally just lift that, copy and paste it out of Rain and Blood and insert it right into the middle of the song.
Mm.
And yeah, it's got a sung chorus. So fucking what?
There's nothing wrong with that. What the fuck is wrong with that? Why does it have to always be shouting?
This was the time as well when Machine Head ruled metal.
Yeah.
As well. Remember that?
And you was selling.
Sepultura, I mean, around this time would have been... This would have been around the time Max left, wouldn't it?
Mm.
But you had... Machine Head would have been on their second album. Biohazard were massive. This is... Yeah. Oh, metalers are wankers.
Yeah.
We get so I can be accused of that slightly because we do get we kind of have a love relationship with our bands and we expect a little bit too much, and if it's not what we want and expect, and because it's an emotional led response, we are gonna kind of go, well, fuck that, and I'll be honest, this isn't the first album by Slayer I'm gonna put on. It's not,
but it is going to be one I enjoy. It's not one I'm going to throw in. It's one I want when I want something a bit different, you know? And, I mean, yeah, the first five albums are undeniable. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, I would put this above Cross Illusion, World Pain Blood, and obviously that fucking Covers album.
I will never mention that because that doesn't count. Covers albums can fuck off. By anyone, I don't care who it is. I don't actually mind it.
I don't play it often, but it's because it's what I like about it is that everything's so quick. It's just like a quick half hour. It's like an EP.
They do a good cover of Freebird though. Did you see the live one where they were jamming out Freebird on stage?
Yeah,
that was cool. I'll give them that, but don't ever fucking put it out on an album. I don't want to hear that. You Slayer shop, stop that shit.
Like I say, I had a good time listening to this, and I'm having a good time reviewing it with you. And I'm glad I couldn't predict actually how this show was going to go. I didn't know.
Well, the next song is another song you could have heard on this album before. Love to Hate. It's another one. The only thing I would say, just a little kick in the bollocks for it. This kind of weird sliding guitar effect. Stop that. But like, this album is a grower. As it progresses, it's grower. It's not. Like I said before, it's not my go-to Slayer album, and the double masking voice effect that they do on it is, I can see why people don't like it, but I like it.
Yeah, this is the
divider.
I was gonna say, for everything, all the jip that Stain of Mind gets, this is the fucking song people should be complaining about. If you're gonna give it, this is new metal or groove metal, or whatever. This is the fucking guilty culprit, not Stain of Mind.
Do you know what, as well, the little stop dead bit on the end is when they just stop it. They're the kings of fucking stop. Kiss Slayer are the kings of stop. And then that's it.
This sounds like something one of my bands would have fucking wrote when we were in college.
See, I don't mind this, but I can see what people hate about it.
All my bands when I was in college sucked.
See, this is the one I don't mind. Double mask. I don't mind this one. I don't. It's not my favourite.
Just when I thought we were getting along.
I know. Yeah. Well, I don't mind it. The slower solos are spot on. Slayer do a shit. Don't often do a shit solo.
No, I'm just saying, when everyone says, oh, no metal and all this, this is a more, and everyone talks about Stain of Mind, this is the more guilty culprit than Stain of Mind. But if this was Biohazard, yeah, all right.
It's not a bad track. It's maybe not the strongest one on the album, to be fair. It's, I don't know. There's not much more I can say about this one. If you've got anything more to add, would love to hate. I don't know, really.
No, it's just like a typical groove.
Yeah, groove metal was the thing as well. There was a Pantera thing going on as well.
Listen, again, you go to the clubs at the time. I got into a fucking metal club when I was 15, and I thought I was the man.
Oh, yeah.
And what's your date of birth, mate?
Lies.
1982. You know, with a fucking thingy moustache and a little few spider legs on my chin.
Fucking white heads on your forehead.
I thought I had a goat bed. Goat ear. And
You know, you got fucking Fear Factory playing, and then all the goths come out. You got Typo Negative and Du Hast Nicht,
you know,
and then got Life of Agony and Biohazard and fucking, and then this comes on. Yeah, all right. It all fits. It all fit at the time.
Yeah, you know? Not, there's, it was of its time, and it is of its time, and it's not one of the strongest tracks. But like, it goes on to Desire. It's a slower starter. I like the. See, I've always got a problem when
I like this song.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like the slightly off-key guitar. It, the riff. It's nasty. It's naughty, and the drumming. Oh, fucking drumming! I put in my note says fucking drumming. Love it. The drumming's spot on, and Hanneman's riffs are meaty as fuck, and like. You can tell they have got that. This is one of the, I'm not saying the perfect, but one of the perfect Slayer lineups that they had, because they've had two with two different drummers. But controversial. They missed. They totally missed.
There's nothing controversial about it, Gully. Paul Bostoff's the man. I'm sorry, Dave Lombardo.
They both
gets
have
this
styles.
Godlike status. What has he done lately? I'm fucking sick of it.
Mm.
He came back into the band and did the two most fucking autopilot, boring fucking albums.
Mm.
And I've met Dave Lombardo. I've interviewed him. He's a fucking lovely bloke. But he's better off not in Slayer. He's not into it.
Yeah.
And
he's more into jazz.
Yeah, he'd rather be in some fucking free piece doing fucking. He's not into metal anymore. And those first five albums are fucking undeniable. And yes, Paul Bostoff is not Dave Lombardo on those first five albums. No one is.
Mm.
But guess what, folks? Dave Lombardo isn't either.
Yep.
And Paul Bostoff is the best drummer for Slayer now.
I agree.
Like the people that fucking complain about Cannibal Corpse. Yes, George Corcuera isn't Chris Barnes, but Chris Barnes isn't either now.
They're just as much...
George is the right guy for the job now.
Agreed, you know? They're just as much Slayer at the time they were in it. And let's be honest, this is one thing that they so miss Hanneman's riffs. They miss his style now. His riffs have a maniacal fucking evil kind of touch to them. Like, one thing I want to talk about as well, the lyrics, the vocal style on this. If you've ever sat there with a record player and you're playing something and then you slightly speed it up, spin it round a bit quickly and slow it down, if you listen to the vocals on this track, it sounds like that. It's like going, oh, like that, the way it's getting sung. Tom Araya does a fucking great weird sort of warped lyrics, and I like it, and it sounds really fucking menacing, and it is a different kind of song for Slayer, but it works for me. It totally fucking works for me. And then it's got the whammy bar madness. Oh my god, I love a whammy bar, and Slayer love a whammy bar. And the vocals are slightly distant on it, but they push the boat out with it, I would say, with this one. And you know what, it fucking works. This is a fucking great track. It's a fucking great track.
Do you remember wham bars? You used to get them for 10p.
Oh man, I used to love them. There was this sports centre when I lived back in Bootle. It was called Fernhill Road Sports Centre, and the shop was normally closed half day because it was weird when times were weird then. And you could go into he'd let you go into the sports centre and you could get wham bars for the 10p. I would just go in and buy about three and then go home and watch fucking the Young Ones on the telly. That's how old I am. Like, but yeah, wham bars were spectacular.
Watching the Young Ones whilst eating a wham bar. Does life get any better?
And
than
packets
that?
Of Tutti Frutti's as well. Do you remember them? Remember berries are out here.
I think I remember Tutti Frutti's. Yeah.
Yeah, just hard, chewy candy shit. But like, why I've got no teeth now. But like, because I'm still a sweet fest. But yeah, it was lovely. But like, the whammy bars on this, I love a fucking crazy, like fucking raining blood, total fucking madness musically. That's what it is.
When we started doing this format, when we changed the show to just reviewing albums, the first one we did was Diablo Musique. No, it wasn't. It was Divine Intervention. We're doing Diablo Musique now.
Yes.
This song reminds me of 2-2-1-3.
Mm.
They always kind of had that song, sort of South of Heaven onwards, really, where it would be a slow, sort of sinister song, and it would normally be about a serial killer or something.
Mm.
And let's have a look. Yeah, Tom Araya wrote the lyrics to this one, so it's probably about a serial killer.
Mm.
He
does like his murderers.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a little slow and melodic.
bit like 213. And yeah, it's basically you get your war songs from Hanneman, you get your anti-religion songs from Kerry King, and then you get a fucked up serial killer song from Tom. And this album's fucked up serial killer song.
Yeah, it works. It totally works. I think you can see that they pushed the boat out a little bit as well, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
They pushed the boat out on this album, full stop. And I don't think it fucking fails in what they tried to do and where it was from, the time where it's set. And it's kind of, unlike a lot of shit that was out at the time, this still stands up today. You go back and listen to all that fucking new metal garbage now, it's bollocks. And this is what I've been
thinking the whole time. Like, this is aged a lot better than a lot of the stuff that it gets lumped in with. This is what I was said at the beginning. If this
Agreed.
Is a new metal album, then it's one of the best new metal albums going.
I would imagine that a lot of people who hated this album at the time, if they went back and fucking listened to it now, they'd be like, hang on, this isn't that bad, really. And that's the thing. I'll have it come on, songs from this album come on a lot, and the next one in particular will pop on random play on my phone, and I'm like, yeah, this is fucking cool, Slayer. Yeah, know exactly who it is. But at the time, it was like, oh man, I wasn't really into it. But go back and fucking listen to it, you soft shite. You're missing out on a good album so far, so you should go and listen to it, in my opinion. It's fucking good. Like, go back, go and listen to fucking Loco. Go and listen to them fucking gobshites.
Exactly.
Go and listen to Korn.
This is a fucking human waste project.
Yeah, go and listen to fucking shite that's out at the time, and then come back and tell me this is fucking bad. Yeah,
this is it. This was Slayer at the time. This was this still blew me away.
Yeah, it's the world.
This was a nu metal album, but I was embedded in nu metal at the time, and this I went, what the fuck? And it's what made me seek out heavier stuff, you know. So, and yeah, again, this is still as good as it got at the time. Look at what all the other thrash bands were doing around this time.
They wasn't doing
I mean, a year later, yeah, you had Testament release The Gathering, which is a masterpiece.
Mm.
But also a year later, Megadeth released Risk.
People were scared to do stuff like this.
Yeah.
People were scared to do shit like this. Okay, they put a different sound on it, but it's still fucking Slayer.
It's not as if Celtic Frost with Cold Lake, for fuck's sake.
Mm.
Or what about Napalm Death, the fucking darlings of the extreme music industry? Fucking, what about the stuff they put out in the 90s?
It's not Metallica Load, is it? It's not fucking Metallica Load. It's not like they went that far.
I like Fear, Emptiness, Despair. I like Colin Richardson. But they incorporated groove into their sound then. They were far from grindcore, which they started out as, and a long shot from the death metal stuff they did with Harmony Corruption and Utopia Banished, you know. Fear, Emptiness, Despair, what's the other one, Diatribes, Inside the Torn Apart, there was another one as well. It was about a 3-4 album run in the 90s. But yeah, this is easily sits with those albums.
Yeah, it pisses all over anything else that's kind of around there. It's one of them. And I remember seeing them at the Ozfest in 98 when on the back of this album. I was taking ecstasy at the time. Tell you where I was at mentally. I was off my tits. But do you know what? Funniest thing ever, seeing Pantera and fucking Slayer on ecstasy. Oh my God. It was like I was just on a constant stream of jizz was flying everywhere. I was just so happy with life. It's like, that's Slayer. Oh my God, that's Slayer. It was crazy.
I can't see how you could go into a mosh pit on ecstasy. Wouldn't you just hug everyone?
No, I was just sitting there. I was sitting there on the hill, off me head, just going, wow, it's Slayer. Oh my God. And just chatting shit and enjoying the music. And
What a wonderful day.
Yeah. Slayer are awesome. I'm so happy.
Aren't we lucky, everyone?
Do you know what? This is probably why I'm such a dower cut now. I've probably exhausted all my happiness through fucking ecstasy, and now look at me, I'm fucking twisted.
I used up all my happiness in the 90s.
Yeah, it's all gone
and
now
I'm fucked.
So now
my life sucks.
So we're on to what are we on? We on the Name of God, aren't we?
I think so.
Yeah.
I've lost track.
This is another popular one. I really, really like this song. A good Slayer album gets you angry, and this song gets you fucking angry. Let's have a big fight. Let's not take ecstasy and let's punch people in the balls. The solos at the beginning of this song remind me of early Sepultura. They've got that weird tinny sound. Nothing wrong with that at all. And the venom that Tom spits out the lyrics here, he's he's spitting angry fucking spit out, and I love the speed up just before the 2 minutes. Antichrist in the name of God, fucking love this it.
This is the sole song that Kerry King wrote. This is the one song.
It's a good track, man. It's my favourite track.
Where it's lyrics and music, Kerry King.
I fucking love it.
Everything else, yeah. Kerry King's even contributed, but this is the one song. That was the one song that Kerry wrote on his own.
Ballsy guitars.
Yeah, it's a cool song. I mean, there's not a lot really to add to it that I've not said already about the album, but it's a solid contribution to the album.
Yes.
And I think you knocked the hell. I think you knocked the nail on the head with the Sepultura comparison. Really, kind of.
The solos, it's like a different sound. It's got a different soundscape. They've played along with different ways of putting the guitars out on this album all the way through it. There's loads of experimental things with the soundscape.
It gets a bit dodgy on the next song, though.
Oh man. Well,
Scrum.
Well, this is where we fall out. Right. But just let me finish up on that one. Ballsy guitars, okay. And it's a top track so far. This is me, and in the name of God, my favorite track so far. So, I'll let you talk about Scrum because I think we may fall out.
No, it's not a bad little number. It's 2:20, and it's, you know. Do you know what? It kind of reminds me a little bit of a hardcore song. Maybe it's like Suicidal Tendencies or something like that.
I don't mind
it. Just the way it stops and... You know, and then just kicks back in again. But it's the fucking lyrics. Now, we're Slayer. We talk about hellfire and anti-religion and burning in hell for eternity. And maybe burn it, you know, choking to death on your own guts in Auschwitz.
Yeah, it's one way to go.
Apocalypse and serial killers. But this song, I'm going to sing about American football. Or rugby, whichever you fancy.
Snooker.
Apparently it's about rugby. But
snooker.
But Kerry King's a massive American football fan. I can't see any American watching rugby. But yeah, Scrum. I mean, he even says Here Comes the Pain at one point, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Am I mistaken there?
I can't remember, to be honest. I like this song. I like it. I fucking like it.
No, I do like it, but fucking hell, Slayer writing a song about...
I didn't take that. Scrum. I'll be honest, I really wasn't paying attention to the fucking lyrics, and you've just killed it for me now.
Blank out the lyrics. It is a good song.
It's a shouty 2 minute Slayer special.
It's a 2:20, no nonsense.
Thrashy, fuck you, Slayer.
Yeah.
Let's walk angry. Let's fight people. Let's run people over in your car. This is angry fucking Slayer. It's just angry. It doesn't matter what the fuck they're shouting about. I don't care. I don't pay attention to Slayer's lyrics very often. I'll be honest. It's not about the lyrics. It's how it's projected most of the time for me. Some of the older albums, yes. Dance with the Dead in My Dreams, blah, 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 blah. But this is an angry fuck you older Slayer sounding track. And it's my favourite track on the album. I disagree with you, man. It might be about rugby, but rugby, have you ever seen a nice looking rugby player? They like a good fucking fight, and this song's about a good fucking fight.
Alright, no, yeah, you've spun it round there, I suppose.
Yeah, this album just keeps getting better for me. I'm sorry, this is a good track, man.
It's just funny how we've gone from, you know, Auschwitz to rugby pitch.
But there's only so many things you can sing about Satan and fucking, like, the death of the Jews. There's only so much you can sing about it, though, isn't it? How much, like, okay, gas. We can gas them. Okay, should we talk about, like, fucking...
Hold on a minute. They only did one song about...
Yeah, but how much can you fucking sing about the death of the Jews?
They did do another one on Divine Intervention, didn't they? Yeah. It was about one of the sergeants or something, but...
You can only go so far with fucking Nazi Germany. Let's be honest. What has been said has already been said and sung about a few times.
Baseline, goal line, overtime, killing time.
There's nothing wrong with killing people.
Sentence of tradition is to run head first into battle, feel the rush, living on adrenaline, your try is crushed.
Stop it. You're killing it for me. You're killing it. I'm ignoring you. I love this fucking song. It's thrashy as fuck. Don't care what you say. Don't care about the lyrics. Yeah. Fuck them. It harkens back to the older Slayer for me.
I don't take lyrics too seriously anyway, but lyrics are to be...
Even less so with Slayer.
I know at the moment, you know, everyone's getting fucking annoyed about Marduk and a bunch of black metal bands. And it's like, look,
the lyrics are to be enjoyed or ignored, you know? Yeah?
Mm.
Bob Marley didn't really shoot the sheriff, okay?
No.
So calm the fuck down.
He didn't shoot the sheriff, he shot the deputy, didn't he?
Yeah.
Or something like
that. He did shoot the sheriff, didn't shoot the deputy.
Oh, well.
But he didn't shoot anyone. He was too stoned. Peace and love.
He was too stoned to shoot anyone. The only thing he was shooting was the shop to get some munchies.
Fucked anything that walked, but yeah.
Why not? If you've got all the money and all the weed in the world, you're gonna fuck.
Well, he didn't have a lot of money.
Well, he made a bit, didn't he, towards the end?
No, he didn't. Have we gone from slight Bob Marley? I don't know. It was me that brought him up.
Yeah, you did.
I don't know this. Basically, he didn't fucking sign anything. He did everything on a handshake because, you know, material worth is worth nothing, and everything I like is fucking spiritual, and none of my treasures are on the fucking natural earth and all that. So yeah, well done, Bob.
Well, it's obviously his estate. Now don't care fucking about that. They've got everything out. Fucking
the band
headphones.
Got fucked. Everyone got fucked.
Headphones. And, Bob Marley headphones. Bob Marley ashtrays. Bob Marley cigarette papers. Yeah, there's fucking everything.
That, yeah, but how much of that goes to his family or to the band?
Oh no,
or
they're probably long dead. They're long dead.
The Wailers, I think, still tour, because when he started the Wailers, it was Bunny Wailer, wasn't it?
Mm.
If you speak to any Caribbeans, I work with a lot of Caribbeans, and yeah, they sort of go, yeah, Bob Marley's one thing, but Bunny Wailer is the guy. You know, like when if someone says to you as a metaler, do you like Metallica, fucking Sad But True? And you go, well, yeah, it's all right, but
overplayed, isn't it?
It's not Slayer, it's not Cannibal Corpse, or, you know.
Mm.
Well, with Caribbeans, Rastafarians and that, if you said, do you like Bob Marley, they'd go, well, yeah. It goes a bit deeper than that, though. Like, Bob Marley's not someone they really listen to. He's sort of like the Metallica or the...
Or the Guns N' Roses of rock.
Yeah, he's sort of like the Guns N' Roses of reggae.
Yeah.
And a lot of them prefer Bunny Wailer.
Mm.
But Bunny Wailer didn't tour with Bob Marley. He wrote a lot of... He formed the Wailers and wrote a lot of the early stuff with him, but he didn't like flying.
Mm.
So he didn't tour. So a lot of people today still listen to Bunny Wailer. And I do think the Wailers tour and do the hits, you know?
It's kind of like when you were younger, you were into rock.
Bob Marley fucked himself because he didn't sign any contracts. He just went, no... I want everything cash and everything's agreed on a handshake.
Mm. Oh dear.
And obviously the people on the business side of the thing just went, oh fucking hell, we've got him by the pubes. Yeah.
Easy money,
yeah,
innit?
And when he went, that was it. Yeah. So I don't know how much this is what I've been told by people who know more about that music than me.
Yeah.
So don't directly quote me on that, but
sounds legit, though, to be fair.
Yeah.
He was a bit of a stoner. So getting back to where he was, I think Scrum should have closed the album. There, I said it. I just find it... But there is another song later on that I'm like, yeah. Because, I don't know, I seem to be finding myself cutting albums down to 8 or 9 tracks. I just find 8 or 9 to be perfect.
But I've only been doing that since we've been doing this.
There's always one or two you can just fuck
since,
off.
Yeah, ever since we've been doing this review thing and going song by song, every album I fucking listen to now, I go, yeah, that, you can get rid of that.
We've got to. There's always has to be at least one. So it takes us on to the next track, and this is the one. This is a progression from the last album, but it's A plus B equals Slayer. You can tell where it's going because you know what's going to happen because you've heard it before. There's nothing wrong with the track, but it sounds like what they've done before, and this could be a B-side or this could be just fucked off. The solos are great, but there's something lacking about it, and there's a talky bit. So Screaming from the Sky, fuck off. That's me.
I've always... As much as I've defended this album, I have had to admit it does kind of trail off towards the end. And nothing particularly wrong with this song, but it's not. Yeah, I'm on the wind down now.
Yeah, it's fair. You can.
I wouldn't have said cut it off, but it is sort of killer filler.
No, it's gone. It's gone. This is a B-side.
All right, fair enough. Get off. Being diplomatic. All right. So we're on the last track. Point.
Yep. this is another one I listen to quite often, and I didn't. It's one of them that, like, I'll always say when something comes on random play and I'm like, yeah, I'll listen to this. This is one that seems to pop up on my phone all the fucking time. I love it. The riffs on this are great. It's at times, it's like, this is just chaos. It's just absolute chaos. Crazy mosh pits, fights, sore necks, bruises. This brought all this up to me when I saw them fucking live so many times. The middle section is good. I know all the lyrics to it. I can see why they finished on it, but Scrum for me is a bit more potent, and the solos on this one is great. This is exactly what you would say. This is an epitome of a Slayer track, and it's a great track, and it's got the craziness to finish it, and I can see why they went with it to finish the album, because yeah, it's great, and it's like Slayer, we've gone mad, but we're going to go mental at the end to finish the album, and you can all fuck off. Basically, Slayer just giving everyone the fingers at the end.
Yeah, it's not a classic Slayer song by any track, but it is a what's the word?
It's a good choice to finish it
off.
It's
a consistent, competent. It's a good Slayer song, basically. Yeah, it doesn't. It's a good album closer. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, chaos is in it.
The songs don't really stand up individually in the big scheme of things, but put together, they do make a pretty good...
Yeah.
A pretty good sandwich.
So, sum it up. I always go last, so let's not change a habit of a lifetime. Well, a habit of fucking 7 or 8 shows. How would you rate it out of 10? And, yeah, sum your feelings up towards this... A diversive Slayer album, because it is.
It's an 8 out of 10 for me personally because of where this album was in my life. But in the big scheme of things, and with time going by, I'd put it as a 7. It's a good solid 7, 8 on a good day.
Mm.
But again, as much flack as this album gets, it doesn't deserve it at all.
No.
And again, for a band that's been going as long as Slayer to be putting out as many albums as Slayer. How many albums have they put out now in total?
Fucking loads. I'll go look on the Wikipedia. Let's see.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 albums. If this is as bad as it got, you've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've enjoyed this one. I'm an older Slayer fan. It was a departure, and at the time I wasn't in it. But like, if you still think this album is shit, you're talking fucking shite yourself. There's some really meaty, immense, aggressive, angry tracks on this. I don't see what the fucking problem was with the album. I'd honestly like to see a few of these tracks live. Probably won't be able to now because I haven't got a ticket for the next fucking gig. This album got better as it went along, apart from the one that we deleted, Screaming in the Sky. If you disregard that and the shit covers album, get rid of that completely, then yeah. This is a solid 7. I really like it. I prefer the older stuff, but it's still a great listen. And if you haven't listened to this album and you've thought, oh, shit, when I heard it years ago, go back and listen to it. Don't be a fucking dope.
Yeah. Get that CD off the shelf, wipe the dust off it. It's really not as bad as you remember.
Yeah. It's not like, for me, eating licorice is the worst thing ever. If someone gave me licorice, I would vomit. It's not like licorice bad. It's like when you drink that first sip of whiskey and it's really, really like, oh, it's fucking hard. It's hard to drink. And then you just start getting into it and it gets smoother. That's what this album does. It smooths out as it goes along and it is a really solid 7. It's a great little album and I really enjoyed listening to this Slayer album. I'm a big Slayer fan. I'm sitting here in my Slayer top and everything. Great stuff. I don't see what the fucking problem is with it. Get your shit together and listen.
Just think as well, if you had the machine head,
burn your balls,
burn your eyes, and more things change. A year after this album came out, they put out Burning Red.
Mm.
Oh God, you all went fucking mental then.
Yeah, and look at Machine Head now. Well, look at Rob Flynn, because there's no one else left in the fucking band, is there?
Robbie Flynn and the Machine Heads.
it's gonna be like fucking Slash's Snake Pit when that guy come in the band and they put that guy and Slash. It's gonna be Rob Flynn and the Machine Head. It's got to have his name on the front because there's no one else left. Fucking Rob Flynn, you twat.
that bass player that's been at the 10 minutes.
I don't even know who he is.
It's just happy to be employed.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad I'm getting paid $1,000 a fucking month, because that's all he's going to be getting, because he'll be contracted to fuck. He won't be getting any royalties. Fuck that. Rob Flynn's got that sewed up to fuck. Let's go and do a spoken word tour, Rob, you total cock. Yeah. So moving on from that total cock in metal, have you got any reviews, anything we need to talk about? Like any new magazines coming out? Come on, share the love. Tell us what you got.
Metal Legion, still working on that. Not sure when it's going to come out, but it's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Not blowing my own trumpet, but I've read a lot of interviews with the people that I've interviewed, and my one is better. I've gone really deep with them, and I've asked them some good questions. And I interviewed Eric Rutan, and he even said, look, I've got to cut it off because I've got an interview lined up. He went, but I'll happily ring you back afterwards if you like, because I'm really enjoying this.
Mm.
You know,
it's about tend to speak to people as well, I've noticed, we tend to ask questions that people are too fucking freaked out to say. People get scared, and it's the world we live in where it's crossing the line. I don't give a fuck about crossing the line. Either you answer it or you don't. What's the worst thing that could happen? You could hang up. That's the way I look at it.
But Brutalism has just had a makeover.
They
closed down for a couple of days and got the decorators in.
Yep.
So go see brutalism.com and have a look at the new layout. I've got the new Terrorizer album on there, and I've just submitted the review for Blasphemer, Lust of the Goat.
Mm.
Now, if you listen to this show, you'll know Blasphemer. They put out an album in January last year. We interviewed Arno and Maz. And
yes.
Maz is going to be coming back on the show in a couple of weeks.
Indeed.
Around the time of the release of the album. And we're going to interview him about the new album. But we're also going to review both Exalter albums.
Yes.
Slaughter in the Vatican and The Law. I went, what one do you want to do? And he went, both of them.
Well, I love doing a twofer.
Well, I only ever did two albums, so it's perfect.
Might as well, yeah. Two for Tuesday, so we might actually do longer than an hour. We seem to be hitting just like an hour and a bit for every show, but this is no different. So
check out brutalism.com and Metal Legion. Buy the current issue, but when the new issue comes out, I'll tell you all about it. And I'm probably going to get about 20 copies or something, so you can order it from me and not pay a fortune postage.
Yes, do that. What we've got some people coming on. We're lining up some interesting people to talk to and review albums. We will get them. If you want to plug something and you're in a band, suggest an album and we'll review it. So we got people coming up. Not going to spoil who else we've got coming up in case it fucks up. But if you want to send us some stuff, at Rock Show Online on Twitter, The Rock Show Online on Facebook. The website's gone, so you missed out, you twat. Other than that, thanks for listening. This has been fun. See you later.